Today's daf is Erev and Daf Tzadik Ches, and we are at the Mishnah, 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo ben Tzara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, and Alter Shmuel ben Chava Leah. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Rivka Bas Yeshua, and Le'ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibad L'chaim Toivim, Ramosha Chaim. Zok the Mishnah. Hoya Koyer B'Sefer, Alo Eskupa. If somebody was sitting at the stoop in front of his house. So there's a little step that goes from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside to his house. He was sitting on that iskupa. He was learning from a sefer, v'niskalgala sefer miyadoi, and the sefer rolled out of his hand. So Rashi says that once upon a time, kol svarim ha'asuyim bimei harishonim, asuyim kesefer Torah shalanu. So all svarim, literally, a Rashba, a Gemara, whatever it was made like our Sifrei Torah, or even think more, like our Megillahs. So you were holding a scroll, and that's the way you were learning. So somebody's sitting on the skupa, he's holding a scroll, and the Sefer was Niskalgo Miyadai. But this is important. He was still holding on to one end of it. So it didn't completely leave his hand, but rather it rolled away. It says the Mishnah, Goy lo yatzel, you're allowed to roll it back to you. And it makes sense, because even if he's sitting on a skupa, which we'll see in the Gemara, maybe is a Rosh Hashayachid, and even though it may have rolled into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, but he's not doing anything. Had it physically left his hand, and then he would go pick it up from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, bring it into the iskupa, yeah, maybe that would be an issue. But being that he's holding on to it, so obviously there's no issue. So the Mishnah says, Goylo lo yatzloi, no worries. If somebody was doing the same exact thing, but instead of sitting on the iskupa, he was sitting on his roof. In Niskalgala Sefer Miyadai, you get, he's learning. And the Sefer was Niskalgala. It didn't completely leave his hand, but it rolled down. Actually, Gila Sarat Tvach, if it didn't get to within 10 tfachim from the ground, you're allowed to bring it back to you. Once it gets to within asar tfachim, then you can't bring it back to you. Rather, what you should do is you should make sure that the side of the Megillah that has a ksav should not be exposed to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rather, you should flip it around. That's just a little bit more bakavadig, but you should leave it there. Now, what's the significance of being within Asar Tvachim? Because again, what's happening here is the Sefer is being read by a person who's in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. However, it is now hanging and dangling inside a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is only considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim halachically up until 10 tfachim. But anything l'mayla me'asara tfachim in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is no longer considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Hence the halacha, if it's within asara tfachim, so now it's in the ear space of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you have to leave it there. If it's l'mayla me'asara tfachim, it's not in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you can take it back. Rabbi Huda says, afilei mesulik menaretz, elo kemloi hachut, goyu lo yatzal. Rabbi Huda says that even if it's within asara tfachim, the halacha is that as long as it's not touching the ground, even if it's literally the space of a chut, of a string, removed from the ground, but as long as it's not physically touching the ground, that's enough for you to be able to bring it back to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is a third sheet to the most cool of the Gafilu Ba'aretz Asma, even if it's physically on the ground, you'll have to bring it back to you. Because at the end of the day, says Reb Shimon, let's be honest, all we're dealing with here is an Issa D'Rabbanan, all we're dealing with here is a Shvus. Incidentally, another interesting Rashi, last words of Rashi in the Mishnah, called Issid Rabbanon Havi Shvus. So whenever you see the word Shvus, you know you're talking about an Issid Rabbanon. But says Reb Shimon, that being that we're dealing over here with an Issid Rabbanon, we're dealing with a Shvus, and we're dealing here with the potential of Bezoyon, of Kisvei HaKodesh, we have a policy that Ein Lecha Davar Mishum Shvus, that's Oymed Bifnei Kisvei HaKodesh. So again, just to summarize the Mishnah, as the majority of today's daf is going to be an analysis of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah was discussing somebody that's reading from a Sefer. There was a Reisha and a Sefer. In the Reisha, he was sitting on a skupa. In the Sefer, he was sitting on his roof. V'nisgalgo HaSefer Miyadai. The Sefer rolled out of his hand. It didn't leave his hand, but one edge of it rolled down. The question is, what could you do? In the Reisha, the Mishnah, when he was sitting on the skupa, the Mishnah says, Goy le'asloi, just bring it back. The Mishnah doesn't get involved in, is it touching the ground? Is it within 10 tfachim? Is it a little bit off the ground? Mishnah says very, very simply, in the event that he was Bereish Agag, that it's already more complicated. Then we have three shitas. The Tanakhama of the Mishnah said it depends on whether it's within 10 tefachim, not within tefachim. Once it's within 10 tefachim, don't bring it back. Rabbi Yehuda says, afilu ein mesulak min ha'aretz elek meloi chot. As long as it's not touching the ground, even if it's almost touching the ground, literally it's kemloi chot, but if it's not touching the ground, then you can bring it back. Reb Shimon is the most makel. Afilu baretz atzmai. Even if it's on the ground, you're allowed to bring it back to you. And Reb Shimon explained. So again, we're not dealing with an Issa Deraisa. We're dealing with an Issa Derabanan. What would be the Issa Deraisa? You're holding it. All you're doing is bring it back to you. So why are we even having this conversation? Why did the Tanaim even feel that there should be a Shvus here? Teres is very simple. Because at the end of the day, as long as you're holding on to one end of the Sefer, yeah, you're not doing anything wrong. But what happens if it slips out of your hand completely? Then already, it's going to be in a Rosh Hashanah. There's a good chance you're going to want to go and pick it up. Now you're dealing with real Hitzah. So Avad Midei Raisa, being that you're holding on to it, there's no issue. However, it's very intuitive why Chazal would have been concerned. Either way, they were concerned, and it's for that reason we have this Mishnah. So Zoch Digmar, there was clearly a difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. In the Reisha, when the person was learning on the Eskupa, the Mishnah just said, Niskalgal HaSeifa Miyadai, in the Sefer, we have three shitas. We have Tanakam, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Shimon. The obvious question is, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? And that's the backdrop of the first part of the Gemara. Zok the Gemara, hi, Eskupa, hey, Chidami. What exactly is this Eskupa? What's the physical nature of it? Meaning, what's the halachic status of it? Ilei Meskupa Rishos Hayachid. Is the Eskupa Rishos Hayachid? Meaning, it was four tfachim by four tfachim, and it was 10 tfachim tall. The Kamar Rishos HaRabim, and it was in a Rishos HaRabim, meaning this house opens up into a skupa, which opens up into a Rishos HaRabim. If the skupa had the dimensions of a Rishos HaYachid, and it was inside a Rishos HaRabim, so what's the Mishnah saying? Mishnah says, if you're sitting on the skupa, the sefer falls out of your hand, or it rolls out of your hand, you're still holding on to one end, in other words, don't worry about it. What do you mean? Maybe it's going to slip off your hand and you're going to end up taking it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. You don't have to worry about it. And all the issues that seem to be apparent in the safe of the Mishnah, in the case of the scoop, is not a problem. So the Gemara says, the only way to make sense of this is Mani Reb Shimoni. Must be the Tanakama of the Mishnah, the ratio of the Mishnah is going according to Reb Shimon's Shita in the safe of the Mishnah. Right? Because the Mishnah sounds like it doesn't matter if it's on the ground, if it's within Asar Tvachim, not within Asar Tvachim, that Loch is always going to Yetzla. In the safe, that was a major machlokes tana. So it seems that the Reish of the Mishnah is going according to Reb Shimon. So what's the Kasha? Ema Seifa. Look, read the safe of the Mishnah. Yudah, Reb Yudah said, Afilah Ema Sulik Ben Aretz, Alam Lei Machel, Goy Lei Yetzla. And it was Reb Shimon. Oim Afilah Ba Aretz Atzma, Goy Lei Yetzla. Reish of the safe, Reb Shimon, Mitziyasa, Reb Yehuda. In the Sefer, it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So, does it make sense to say that the Reisha is only going according to Rabbi Shimon, and then we have a Sefer of the Mishnah which mentions a major machlokes? It just seems a little interesting that we would have a Reisha and a Sefer. In the Sefer, we mention a machlokes, a bunch of shitas, and in the Reisha, for some reason, we pick one of the shitas. We pick shitas Rabbi Shimon, but the Gemara says, and this is the first teretz of the Gemara, Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Yehuda said in. Yes, correct. Reisha v'sefer Rabbi Shimon, mitziyasa Rabbi Yehuda, even though it seemed to be a little bit dachuk, but you have no choice but to say that the Reisha of the Mishnah is not aliba de kuliyama. The Reisha of the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shimon of the sefer. That's why in the Reisha of the Mishnah, it doesn't matter if it's on the ground, Shimon holds that Ein Lecha Davar Mishum Shvus Oymed Mifnei Kisvei HaKodesh. So the ratio was stated Aliba de Rav Shimon, and then in the Sefer we mentioned the other Shitas. Why? It's a good kasha. But the bottom line is, Rav Yehuda said there's no other way to reconcile the Mishnah. The ratio must be going according to Rav Shimon. And then we mentioned the other Tanam, and then you're right, in the Sefer we mention Rav Shimon again. Rabba said a different teretz. Over here we were dealing with an Eskupa that was nidreses. It was in an area that the people of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim used to walk over. And because of the obvious bezayin that will come to the Kisvei HaKodesh, the Chamin will matter. Meaning, Rabbi said that no. The Reish is not picking one of the shitas and going according to Reb Shimon. The Reish is going aliba de kuliyama. How could the Reish be going aliba de kuliyama? You see from the Seif of the Mishnah that there's different shitas. In the Reish, it sounds like even if it's on the ground, it's going to be okay. The Teretz says, you're right. Even if it's on the ground, it's going to be okay. Why? Because Hocha b'mayoskinon, making an akimta, right? Sometimes to get out of a kasha, the Amiram had no choice but to make an akimta in the Mishnah. Something that's not beforeish in the Mishnah, but we'll make an akimta. What's the akimta? That we're talking about a situation where the eskupa was nidreses, where people were able to walk on the eskupa. Being they were able to walk there, so there was more of an issue of Bezoyan Kisvei HaKodesh, and it's for that reason there, here's the punchline, even Rabbi Yehuda, even the Tanakama are going to be Moida, that if it's on the ground, it's going to be okay. In the Sefer, where there's not a situation of Nidreses, there we have a Machloikis Tana. In the Resha, where it was Iskupa HaNidreses, so there's no question that there was going to be some sort of Bezoyan. It's for that reason, even Rabbi Yehuda, even the Tanakhama would be moida that even if it's on the ground, the halacha is that you're allowed to pick it up, and that's why the ratio was stated without a machloikas, because in fact, the ratio is not totally in any machloikas. But Esei Abaya, Abaya asked the kashin from a braisa. So there was a braisa that, not surprisingly, elaborated on the Mishnah. Which part of the Mishnah? The ratio of the Mishnah. Okay, what the ratio of the Mishnah say? Hayakur b'sefer alu eskupa, v'neskalgala sefer miyadai, goylo le'yatzle. Now what's the part of the ratio that we're focusing on? Doesn't say anything about it. Is it on the ground? Is it not on the ground? And it sounds like it doesn't matter if it is or isn't on the ground. For sure, you're allowed to bring it back there. What's the kasha? What are you, from the Sefer? You see, it's a major machloikis. So far, we have two terus. The first terus is Rav Yehuda da Amayra. Rav Yehuda said, you're right, it's a machloikis. And the ratio of the Mishnah is going according to one of the shittas. And the Sefer is going according to Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is the one that holds it. If it's on the ground, you're allowed to bring it back to you. The second terus is Rabba. No, the ratio. Akimta. What's the akimta? It's a situation where there's more of a bezoyin. It's a skupa hanedreses. That's why it's going to be okay. But this braisa is going to elaborate on the Mishnah and pose an issue. So the Mishnah adds a little knitch. And it says, if a person was sitting on this scoop of the sefer rolled out of his hand, if it's within Dalet Amos, in the Rishus HaRabim area, it's within Dalet Amos from you, you can bring it back to you. Chutz l'dalet, if it's outside of Dalet, then you're supposed to flip it around. Now, if you're going to tell me, said Abaye to Rabbo, that we're talking about where this skupa was, Nidreses, Mali toich Dalet Amos, Mali chutz l'dalet Amos. What difference does it make if it's within Dalet Amos or not within Dalet Amos? And the truth is, really, what difference does it make if it's within Dalet Amos or not within Dalet Amos? Why should it matter? You're not being over Nisa Deraisa anyways. You're holding on to things. Right, Dalet Amos, a rabbin is significant. If somebody carries Dalet Amos because a rabbin, he violates the malacha of Haitzah. But over here, you're holding on to it. So over here, you're not violating anything. Elamai, what are you worried about? It's going to fall out of your hand. If it falls out of your hand, anyway's going to have a problem. Because you're carrying from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid. So if you end up doing our worst nightmare, you'll be over in Issa Deraisa even if it's not outside of Dalet Amos. But the point is, what does Dalet Amos have to do with anything? That's the more obvious question. But the way Abaya asked the kasha to Rabba is that if there's a situation of iskupa and addresses, why would we be machman when it's Dalet Amos? L'chura, we should. At the end of the day, all it is an Issa Derabbanan. It's only an Issa Derabbanan. So let the person bring it back. Elam, Abaya said, from this Braisa, I see a holder from Shana in the Mishnah. Hocha b'iskupa karmelis haskina. I don't think this iskupa was a shosai yachid. I think this iskupa was a karmelis. Rishus HaRabim, my veris afanel. And it was outside of Rishus HaRabim. So toich Dalet Amos, if it rolled out of your hand, but it's within Dalet Amos, the enough of lumaisi le, loyos le dechi of chatos. Over there, let's say it would take a fall out of your hand. And then you would pick it up and bring it back to the iskupa. What would you be doing? You would be carrying less than from a Rishus HaRabim to a Karmelis. That's not an Issa Deraisa. You'd be carrying in the Rishus HaRabim itself, yeah, but it's less than Dalet Amos, because it fell less than Dalet Amos. So being that you anyways, in the worst case scenario, won't be over an Issa Deraisa, so sure, Le Rabbanan. Rabbanan said you could do it. Chutz La'ar Be'Amos. If, however, it's more than four Amos, Di Maisi Le'osu De'chiv Chattas, then if it falls out of your hand, then you go ahead and you bring it. You'll be over an Issa Deraisa. So over there, Lo Yishor Le Rabbanan. It's for that reason, the Rabbanan were a matter. In other words, Abaya said, I have a whole different understanding of the Reish of the Mishnah, which answers everything. The Reish of the Mishnah is not talking about where you're sitting on a skupa, that's the Reish of Sayachet. The Reish of the Mishnah is talking about where you're sitting on a skupa, that's a karmelis. Oh, and that's why the Braisa got involved in Dalet Amos and no Dalet Amos, because it actually makes a difference. Because if you're in a karmelis and if it falls into the Reish of Sarabim less than four Amos away, then even if it falls out of your hand completely and you bring it, you're not going to be over Hitzamba De Reisa. Only if it's more than Dalet Amos, then you can be over De Reisa, because not because you took it from the Rishus HaRabim to the Karmelis, but because you took it Dalet Amos. But what's the punchline? The punchline is the Reish of the Mishnah is different than the Sefer. You know why? Because in the Reish of the Mishnah, you're in a Karmelis. In the Sefer of the Mishnah, you're Bereish HaGag. You're on top of a house. A house is a Rishus HaYachid. What's the difference? Because what's the concern of you? You're really not doing anything wrong. This is all a shvus. Why would the Rachamim worried that, wait, what happens if it falls out of your hand? And then you're going to go and you're going to carry. Oh, so if you're sitting on a skupa and it falls out of your hand, and you're less than Dalet Amos, because that's the akimt of the Braisa. And then you carry it, so nothing happened. You weren't over Nisa Deraisa anyways. So there we have a Koyach Tateira. There we're going to be Mekel. There, even if it's on the ground, not only according to everybody, you're allowed to bring it back. The Seifa is where it's a Rishus HaYachid. Oh, Rishus HaYachid, that's already more Chomer. Rishus HaYachid, now you're dealing with a real situation. There we have three Shittas. There we have a Tanakama. There we have a Rabbi Yehuda. There we have a Rabbi Shimon. The point is that the Kasha of the beginning of the daf was, what's the difference between the Reish and the Seif? You learn the Mishnah. Is the difference, one's in a skupa, one's a guy. Like, what's the difference? So we have three terusim in the Gemara. One teretz is, we're going according to Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is the one that holds that you could always bring it back. That's why the Reish of the Mishnah says you could always bring it back. And Enechinami, according to the Chalkim on Rav Shimon, this halacha wouldn't be true. Or we're making an akimta, it was a skupa on the dresses, it was more of a bazaar for Kisvei HaKodesh. That's why Chaman said you're allowed to bring it back. Or it's talking about a Karmelis. Karmelis, it's only an Issa Durabanan anyways. It's only a Shvus. And because it's only a Shvus, so it's for that reason, it's not going to be an issue. Freit the Gemara, however, Akasha. Ihachi, if this is the case, Toich Ta'al Ramas Nami Nigzor, Dilma Ma'ayel Mishus, Rabban Mishus Ayachid. Why weren't we worried? Right, we're saying that the Reish of the Mishnah, the way Abaye explained it very nicely, is talking about that the iskupa was a karmelis. It was a karmelis. The sefer rolled out of your hand. You're still holding on to it. What's the concern? It may completely fall out of your hand. Then you're going to pick it up. You're going to bring it onto the skupa. As long as it's within Dalet Amos, you're not going to be Ovinus Adereisa, right? Not so poshit. This iskupa is right in front of the Rishus HaYachid. Why are we worried you're going to pick it up in the Rishus HaRavim? Walk up the step and bring it into the Rishus HaYachid. Isn't that an issue? It's a fate to Gemara. We should be concerned that you're going to take it from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYachid derech the Iskupa. So the Gemara says, you know why we're probably not worried about this? Chitei mekibim the mafsekes karmelis lesson, but is it because there's a karmelis in between? And even though you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, but Rishus HaRabim to karmelis to Rishus HaYachid, maybe that you're allowed to do. Vadvama Rava said, if somebody carries something from Dalet Amos and Rishus HaRabim, Vavira Derech Olav, and he carried it more than 10 fachim off the ground. What's the significance? That it was Lamaila Me'asara. So it's in the ear space of Makom Ptur. It's not in the ear space of Rishus HaRabim. Dalach is Chayef. Why? Because at the end of the day, Akira and Rishus HaRabim, Dalet Amos, Hanach and Rishus HaRabim. We don't care where it was in between. Akira, Hanacha, you're done. So, Luchura, if that's the case, the same should be true over here. If somebody would carry it from a Rishus HaRabim, bring it into the Rishus HaYachid, go Derech Karmelis. There was an Akira in Rosh Hashanah, there was an Anach in Rosh Hashanah, who cares that I went there to Karmelis? At the end of the day, you should be Chayef. So the Gemara says, Hach Ma'eskid of a Skupa Arucha. We're talking about where it was a very long Askupa. We're assuming that he's probably going to remember as he's walking through the Skupa, there's no Gezer, right? We're not concerned he's going to do this, but Mason. The concern is that maybe he'll do it by mistake. Over here, we're not concerned because it was a very long Askupa. He's Gervi by the same. Maybe you can say he's talking about it wasn't a Skupa Arucha, but Snam Kisvei Kodesh Yunim Ma'ayim. No, this person, what is he picking up? He's picking up a sefer. What does a yid do when he has a sefer in his hand? He's mine in the sefer. He learns. So what do you think? He's just going to pick it up and walk into his Rishus HaYachid. He's going to stop. He's going to be ma'ayin. And because he's going to sit down and learn, but eventually he's going to come. Faith to Gemara. Okay, now I agree he's going to be ma'ayin. But how do you know he's going to be ma'ayin in the scoop of Aleichah? Maybe he'll be ma'ayin in the Rishus HaRabim. And then va'ayin u'behedil Rishus HaYachid. Then he's going to pick it up. Again, in Rishus HaRabim, be ma'ayin, then walk a skupa into the Rishus HaYachid. So the Gemara says, you're right, I'll tell you a different teretz. Hamani ben Azai. Going according to ben Azai. The Omar, Mahalech Koim Medami. Ben Azai of Mesechta Shabbos Dav Hei fame. Ben Azai who says that Mahalech is Koim Medami. That if a person walks with something, every step that he takes is an Akira and a Hanacha. What's the point? If you take something from Rishus HaRabim, to a Carmelist, to a Rishus HaYachid, you can't be over. You know why? Because when you go from the Rishus HaRabim to the Carmelist, you just did an Akira and Anacha. Then you go from the Carmelist to the Rishus HaYachid, again, you did an Akira and Anacha. So in Benazai's world, this doesn't work. I coined to Benazai, how you ever over Mavra Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim? Many red bites on that. But the Gemara says, we can easily get out of this by saying we're going according to Benazai. Freak the Gemara, Vidul Mazaruglu Mizrak. Why are you concerned that maybe he's going to throw it? Meaning, again, we're thinking the unthinkable. So maybe this person's going to go into the Rosh Hashanah and slips out of his hand, he's going to pick it up, and he's going to, instead of walking it through their scoop into his house, where he's not going to have an issue, maybe he's actually going to throw it into the Rosh Hashanah. That's not a concern. The reason is, that if somebody's Zayrik from Rosh Hashanah, to a Karmelist to Rosh Hashanah, or from a Rosh Hashanah to a Karmelist Rosh Hashanah, he's going to be yoyed. Right? The whole Ben Azai is Mahalech Koimet. So when you're walking, it's Koimet. But what if you throw it? Amar Av Acher Bar Ahava Zois Oimeres Ein Mezarkin Kisvei Kodesh. You see from here that you're not supposed to throw Kisvei Kodesh. That's something that's pretty intuitive. But either way, Rav Acher Bar Ahava said it, or Rav Ada Bar Ahava said it. But either way, this is the Halacha Ein Mezarkin Kisvei Kodesh. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said in the Reisha, if somebody was learning a Sefer on the Skupa, then it's Kalga Sefer in the Yodai, then the Halacha is you could always bring it back. Everybody holds, no issues. Why there are no issues? So we saw three Pshatim. That was the first part of the daf. The Mishnah continued and said, what would be if you were sitting Bereish Hagag? So then already we have a few opinions. The Reisha, the Mishnah says that it depends. Is it more than 10 tefachim off the ground? That even though you're hovering over Rosh Hashanah, but Yoisameh, Lamaila Me'asar Tefachim is considered a Malkum Torah, so just bring it back. It's not a problem. Rabbi Huda says, even if it's within 10 tefachim, as long as it's not touching the ground, you can bring it back. Even if it's Kemaloya Chut, that's enough for you to be able to take it back. And Reb Shimon says, even if it's actually on the ground, that's going to be fine. Now, in the event that you're not going to bring it back, so what should you do? So the Mishnah says, Hoifchay al atzad, you should flip it around. Mishari, but Tanya, we learned to the Brisa, Kaisa Sfar and Tfilma Mezuzas, Soifrim, people that write stamp, lo yitiru lam lahapach yiriyah al panel, you're never allowed to flip the yiriyah upside down. Meaning you're never allowed to put it with the front side facing down. If you feel you have to cover it for whatever reason, put something on top of it. So how are you allowed to flip the yiriyah, the chura, that's not something that's appropriate. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's not like a tchila. So hasam over there, efshar. Hachaloy efshar. The metzias over here is where it was an efshar. V'iloy apich. I mean that there was no way to be perisadin. If you're not going to flip it, ikka bizoyin kiste koy deshve, it's going to end up being worse. Meaning you're right, we're not so happy about what we're doing, but at the end of the day, we have to pick something. We have a kisvei hakodesh that's dangling and it's in a state of bezoyon. If you leave it there, it's not going to be good. If you turn it around, it's also not good. Which is the lesser of the two evils? Flipping it around, and that's why that's the halach in the Mishnah. Zok to Gemara, hoifchoy alaksav. Right to Gemara, I have a fundamental issue with this whole halacha. V'haloi noch. Why don't we say, at the end of the day, the sefer, the scroll that this person was holding, is dangling. It's not on the ground, right? Clearly, from the Mishnah, it doesn't sound like it landed. You're holding it, right? If it landed, that's Reb Shimon's shita. Only Reb Shimon is the one that allows you to take it. But we're having this discussion, even if it didn't land. If it didn't land, what's the problem? Now, just to be clear, we're dealing with an Issa D'Rabbanan over here. We know that. We're not dealing with an Issa D'Raisa. We're dealing with a Shfus. But the Gemara's kasha is that why would the Chachamim make a Gzeira if the status quo doesn't even resemble a deraisa diga scenario. Meaning, if it's in a matzav of hanocha, so that if it would fall like and be in this status, and then I would pick it up, I would be over hoitzamid deraisa. So it makes sense that even though I'm holding on to it, still the chachamim are going to make it there. But ba'asher usham, the way it is right now, it's not even a state of hanocha. So if it's not even a state of hanocha, it doesn't even resemble. If it doesn't, right, if you pick something up that's not in a state of noch, that's not an akira. If it's not an akira, you can't be over this right. So it's like no sheiches. So freak the gemara, haloi noch, why in the world would the chachamim make gzeira? Now, what would be the practical balabata shateretz? We understand right now it's loy noch, but this is all the gzeira. We're afraid it may fall, and when it falls, it will be noch, and then you're going to go ahead and do it. But the maksha didn't like that. The maksha felt that right now it's not in a state of noch, so if it's not in a state of noch, this is not a problem at all in the world of Eitzah. So faith the gemara, what's the whole issue in the Mishnah? On my Rava, so Rava made a surprising akimta, bekoysel mishupa, it was noch. So this person who's sitting on his roof and he's reading a sefer and it fell down. It actually fell and it's on a wall. What do you mean? Why had it fall on a wall? You have a slanty wall. It's the wall of the house. But whatever it is, the point is it's on a koisel. Said the Gemara, it's on a koisel. The name is sefer. Then I didn't understand the sefer. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm right. Rabbi Yehuda saying the sefer. I feel in the mesudik min aris elam leyachud goyel leyetzla. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that in the event that it touched the ground, you can't bring it back. If it's not, it's off even by a chut. That's enough for you to be able to bring it back. What do you mean? I thought the case of the Mishnah is where it was nach. Because if it wasn't nach, we wouldn't have an issue with this anyways. I thought we're dealing with a kaisel meshupa. So Frank the Gemara, how could you tell me kaisel meshupa? You see from Rabbi Yehuda's language that's not the case. You're right. The way we have the Mishnah now, it doesn't work. But if we edit the Mishnah a little bit, we can make it work. What's the edit? Let's add the following words. When is it true? Bekoisel Meshupa. That's when it's a problem. But in the event that the Koisel was Eina Meshupa, meaning it didn't touch the ground, so then it's a whole different halacha. If it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, just bring it back. Why? Because it was Noinach. If it's less than 3 tefachim, then Hoifre. Then it's going to be a problem. What's the significance of 3 tefachim? Lovud. So even though it's not nach, but it's like it's nach, that's why it's going to be an issue. Disregard the 2 das. Rabbi Yehuda, Eimer, Afila, Eina, Mesulik, Menor, it's Fechulu. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? The Be'ina, Nanach, Al Gabi, Mashu. Yehuda argues, he says no. The fact that it's within 3 tefachim, even though that's a sheer lovud, and you can see that maybe it's as if it's on the ground, that's not enough. You actually need a real hanach, and unless you have a real hanach, it's not an issue, you can leave it there. In other words, the machloikis now between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is a different machloikis. The machloikis is within 3 tefachim a shear of hanacha, or is it not? So if something lands, not on the ground, but it's somehow in the ear, but it's within 3 tefachim from the ground. So is that considered a matzav of hanacha, or is it not? According to the Tanakam, it is. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it is not. So the Gemara says, Rava said, that if something's within 3 tefachim, according to the Rabbanon, you would need anacha. Meaning something that's within 3 tefachim from the ground is not considered to be in a state of anacha. Now the context of this halacha, Ayin Rashi. But for what we need now is just the words of Rava. That if something's within 3 tefachim, it's not considered a hanacha, it would still require hanacha. Should we say, walking away from this discussion, that this halacha is going only according to Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara is not comfortable with that, because if Rabbi Yehuda and Chama arguing in our Mishnah, why would Rava say halacha according to the Yachid Rabbi Yehuda, not according to the Chachamim? So the Gemara says, okay, Ella Kula Rabbi Yehuda, once we do a Chasurei Mechsura, so we can double down a little bit. We already edited the Mishnah, we'll edit it a drop more. Really, the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, so everything is changing. The Chasurei Mechsura, the Hachik, Tarbemet, Varma, Murim, Koisel Meshupa. What's the Mishnah talking about? Where it was a Koisel Meshupa, Avil Koisel Shein Meshupa. If it wasn't Meshupa, then I filu pachos mishloisha tefachim goyloy etzloy. Even if it's less than 3 tefachim, the halacha is goyloy etzloy. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, because Rabbi Yehuda said afilu ena mesulik min aretz elam loyachud goyloy etzloy. So there's no chachamim that argue with this Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why when Rava said the halacha, he wasn't saying it according to Rabbi Yehuda as opposed to according to chachamim. Rather, he was saying it according to everybody. At my time, and what's the reason to be an anocha agavi mashu? Because anocha has to be a real anocha. And even though there's a concept of love, there's a concept of being within 3 tefachim of something, that's all very nice. But the bottom line is, it works in many areas in halacha, but not as it relates to hanocha for hilchas leitzah, for hilchas Shabbos. Like Rava said, toich shloisha l'rabbanon, Sarecha Anocha. Either way, that concludes the first part of the daf, which was a very detailed analysis of the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amid Beis Vayter Ziz Shalifnei Chaloin. If somebody had a ziz, a daf, that was a board, that was right outside his window. If you want, you can put things on it. You can take things off it on Shabbos. So, house, window, ziz, sometimes referred to as a gezustera, right? It has different names in the sugyas of Mesechtes Erevin, but for now, just a good old-fashioned board, a daf, that was right outside the person's window. Said Allah is you're allowed to give and take. You're allowed to put things on it. You're allowed to take things off it on Shabbos. So, hi, ziz, the mapik leicha. Tell me a little bit more about this ziz. Elim, the mapik leicha, is it talking about that this ziz was hovering over Rishus HaRabim? Why is the halacha of the Mishnah so simple? Why are we worried that maybe there's something's going to fall off this is, and you're going to end up going and pick it up? So you see the segue, the hemshach from the previous Mishnah. Previous Mishnah was discussing someone's holding a sefer, it's dangling, it may fall off, you may go pick it back. All the shittas and all the different variables that were discussed. So similar concept. Frank the Gemara, understand, why aren't you worried that maybe it's going to fall off this is, and you're going to go tape it back? So the Gemara says, oh, the Mablish, maybe he's talking about where it wasn't on top
top of Rishus Ram. It's on top of Rishus Hayachas. So even if it falls off, you have nothing to worry about. But then he says Pshita. What's the Chiddush? Right? What's the Chiddush? The fact that the Ziz is part of the house, that seems pretty obvious. And if it's on top of Rishus Hayachas, what could the issue possibly be? Amar Abaya. Abaya said that Lo Oilam the Mapa Rishus Ram. I'm talking about where the Ziz itself was in a Rishus Ram. My Nois and Olav. What are you allowed to put on it? Diktani Kalim Anish Barim. It means Kalim that if they would fall, would break. Therefore, there's no concern that it may fall and then you're going to pick it up, because why would you pick it up? It's a broken keli. Something that you can salvage, you would go pick up, but something that would break anyways, there's no point in picking up. So it's for that reason that the Mishnah says that you're allowed to put things on it. So again, this ziz that was outside of the person's house is talking about where it was on top of it, it's just a rabbin. The fact that the Mishnah said Noisen Olav and Noitel Mimed of a Shabbos is a little bit of a chiddush, because it is outside of Rishus HaRabim and there's a concern that it may fall off. Why taka is it okay? The reason it's okay is because we're dealing with something that if it would fall, it would break. Hence, there's no concern that you would end up taking it. Again, disregard the two dots. Tanya Nami Hachi, a brisa that supports everything that we just said. Ziz shalufnei chaloi. If this is in front of a chaloi, it's a lishus harabim. Nois and olav ka'aris v'kaisis kitoinius v'tzloichiyos. So again, this is a brisa that's elaborating on a mishnah, and it doesn't just say nois and olav v'noitlan mimenu b'shabes. No, it gets involved. What could you put? You could put your. It sounds like you'd have the whole suda there. Ka'aris, kaisis, kitoinius, tzloichiyos. What's significant about those things? Hatzadah shavah shavah. These are things that if they fall, they're going to break. And it's there for that reason. You're allowed to put those things in. But something that wouldn't break, something that there's a concern that if it falls, you may want to go ahead and save it, that would actually be an issue. The Braisa continues and says, "Umishtamish b'chala kaisel." You can be mishtamish in the entire kaisel. Meaning if the ziz is very long, so you're not only allowed to be mishtamish with the part of the ziz that's right by the window, you can even stretch your hand out and you can use the entire ziz. Not just that, another halacha, adasara hatachtoinim. You could only use it up until 10 tefachim. Meaning, if the ziz is within 10 tefachim from the ground, then you can't use it anymore, because now you're in the ear space of the Rishus HaRabim. If you're above 10 tefachim, that's when you're allowed to use it. Says the Mishnah, vim yesh ziz echolamata mimenu. What would be if there were two zizim? So you have an upper ziz and a lower ziz. So the halacha is, mishtamish boy. You're allowed to be mishtamish with the lower one, ube'elyoin, and the upper one, e mishtamish be'elu keneged chaloinu. You're only allowed to be mishtamish keneged the chaloinu. So the area that's directly opposite the chaloinu you're allowed to use, but anything beneath it, anything to the sides of it, you wouldn't be able to use. Again, tops is, lowers is, as long as they're both 10 tefachim off the ground, you can use both, but there's a difference. The lower one you can use entirely, the one on top you can't. So the Gemara says, well, let's understand this halach a little bit. Ha'izis heichidami, the one that's on top, either less bayar bo, if it's talking about where it's less than 4 tefachim wide, not long, wide, makam p'torhu, it's a makam p'tor, and therefore, you shouldn't be able to use it. Interesting question. If it's a makam tur, you shouldn't be able to use it. So Rashi says that even though, of course, you're allowed to use a makam, you're allowed to carry from Rishus Hayachat to a makam tur. But the point is that in the event that it's so narrow, the punchline's not makam tur. Punch is it's narrow, so there's more of a concern it's going to fall off. And if it's more of a concern it's going to fall off, there's more of a concern that it may lead to tzuras. So it's for that reason, says the Gemara, then l'chur, if it's a makam p'tor, I feel like you're not going to yishtamish, right? The subject should have to be four tefachim thick. Because if it's not four tefachim thick, we shouldn't be allowing you to use it. And if it is four tefachim, so why are we saying you only use it k'neged ha'chaloyin? What's posh pshat in this halacha? Right, we said if there was one ziz, use the whole ziz. If there's two ziz in the lower one, use the whole one. The one on top, only k'neged ha'chaloyin. What's posh pshat in this? That's the Gemara's question. I'm Abaya said like this. Tachtoin de isbe'arba. The one on the bottom is talking about where it's four tefachim thick. Being that it's four tefachim thick, you can use the whole ziz. The elyon, the one on top, is talking about where it was less be'arba. It didn't have four tefachim of depth. However, the chaloyin mashlim toiladalit. The chaloyin itself, like the windowsill, was mashlim the four tefachim. Therefore, keneged chaloyin mishtamish. Keneged a chaloyin you're allowed to use. The chayrei chaloyinu. Because we look at it as part of the ziz, and as a result, now you have a ziz that's four tefachim that you can use, the high gisu aser. However, to the two sides, you would not be able to use, because it's simply not four tefachim. It's not about an upper and a lower, it's more about you need four tefachim of depth. If you don't have four tefachim of depth, then there's again a concern that it's going to fall off, and if there's a concern it's going to fall off, then you would have an issue. So the topic from a super high level of today's daf was the laws of hoitza, specifically where a person is doing something very innocently, Doesn't sound like he's doing anything wrong. However, the Chachamim sometimes made gzeiris, don't do certain things, lest you come to carry. Gzeiris Shemi Yavirenu Dalanam Shasarabim is probably the number one gzeira. I mean, that's so certainly that we've seen so far in the 14th Machzer of Daf Yomi. It just comes up again and again and again. Shabbos and Erevin literally are underpinned by this concern that Chazal had. And they were very worried that people were going to go ahead and carry. And here we have just more examples of where Chazal were concerned. Literally, don't put something on this on your windowsill. And if you're reading a sefer and one side of it is dangling down, don't even bring it back to you. I mean, these sound like real... But Chazal were worried. What is this in Masech Dezeirvin? Taisus Kasha, right in the beginning of the parak. Tais says, really, we should have learned these halachas in Perak Tzias HaShabbos. We should have learned these halachas in Perak Hazorik and all the other prakim in Masech Dezeirvin that deal with the halachas of Aitzah. There was a little bit of Eirvin in the 10th parak, and it's for that reason we're discussing it now. But exhale. So as it relates to raid, so just to go back to some of the raid that we spoke about at the end of last week, at the end of the day, the name of the perek is called Hamoitzi Tfillin. So I think it gives us a license to talk about Tfillin from here until the end of the Masechta, if need be. But if anyone has an objection, let me know. But so we spoke a little bit about the mitzvah of Tfillin on Daf Tzadik Hei and Daf Tzadik Vav, but specifically ideas associated with Tfillin that comes from the sugyas here in the beginning of perek Hamoitzi Tfillin. So I just wanted to chazer over one piece of raid from the very end of Daf Tzadik Vav, the Ein Beis Medrash Beloi Kama Vekama Chidushin. So we saw on Daf Tzadik Vav a machlokes tanan whether Laila, Shabbos, and Yontif are Zmanei Tfillin or are not Zmanei Tfillin. We take for granted that we don't put Tfillin on at night, we don't put on Tfillin on Shabbos, and we don't put on Tfillin on Yontif. However, this was not something that was universally accepted by all the Tanaim. There were Tanaim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, who were of the opinion that Laila, Shabbos, and Yontif are not our Zmanei Tfillin. And as a result, a person is obligated to put Tfillin on Shabbos and Yontif. A person is obligated to put Tfillin on at night. In other words, we have a machlokes. Looking at it from a different perspective, whether tefillin is a mitzvah esesh as mangaram, or whether tefillin is a mitzvah esesh shalei as mangaram. If Laila is not as man tefillin, if Shabbos and Yom Tov is not as man tefillin, so it comes that it can only be mekayim the mitzvah tefillin at certain times. If that's the case, so tefillin is not going to be a mitzvah esesh as mangaram. If, however, Laila, Shabbos, and Yom Tov are zman tefillin, so it comes that you always chayim, you'd always have to wear tefillin. So it's not a mitzvah esesh as mangaram. We said an afkamidu would be a nashim chayiv, a nashim not chayiv, and we spoke about women wearing tefillin, different women that wore tefillin. That was some of the. But we mentioned at the end of Daf Tzadik Vav a ha'ara nifla that Rav Meir Simcha asks in Or Samech. And that is, if there were Tanam that were of the opinion that tefillin is not a mitzvah saseh shas mangarama, specifically Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, so he says, how is it that we don't find that there were women in history that wore tefillin? I mean, there are a few stories. Micha Bas Shaul, maybe Bruria, even though Reb Chaim Kanievsky said he doesn't know the makar to it. You have the wife of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. You know, maybe the women in Tzarfas in the 14th century, depending on the right girsin, Tosis and Brachas, Daf Yudal and Madalev, what Tosis brings from the Sar Mikutzi, is it tefillin or is it tkiyos? But the point is, you don't really find, besides for some of Favorfina Mara Mekaimus, that there were women that put on tefillin. Frank Rame Simchi doesn't understand that if tefillin is a mitzvah saseh she'en azman garama, so women should be chayiv to put on tefillin, just like they're chayiv in any mitzvah saseh she'loy azman garama. So how come we don't find that women with tefillin? Says Rameir Simcha that he thinks Pshat is based on a mechilta. The mechilta is in Parshas Boy. The mechilta says, it says in the Torah regarding the mitzvah of tefillin, the hayu lechala isa yadcha ulezikarim b'nei necha lemantia teres Hashem beficha ki biyad chazaka hoytziach Hashem yimitzrayim. And when you read the pasuk, it almost sounds like the pasuk is giving a time of the krah. V'hayu lechala isa yadcha ulezikarim b'nei necha. Why should you wear tefillin? Leman, so that tia teres Hashem beficha. So the Torah of Hashem is going to be beficha, so that you're going to learn Torah. Says the mechilta, mikan amru haminiach tefillin ki lukayr b'tayrah. If somebody puts on tefillin, it's as if he was learning Torah. V'chalakayr b'tayrah. And if somebody learns Torah, potim enat tefillin. He's going to be potim enat tefillin. What's pshat? Says Rav Meir Simcha, pshat's pashat, because that's what the pasuk says. The whole idea of wearing tefillin is leman tia teres Hashem beficha. So if you're anyways learning, chalakayr b'tayrah, potim enat tefillin. In other words, says Rameh Simcha, you see from the Mechilta that the yisoid of mitzvah's tefillin is to get a person to learn Torah. L'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha. A yid is supposed to look at his tefillin, and when he sees his tefillin, he's supposed to chab. Oh, ich darf lernen. I think the Hezber in this is very, very poshut. The Rambam in Perik Dalet Halacha Chafei in Hilchas Tefillin. So Rambam talks about the beauty of tefillin. It's a beautiful lashon on Rambam. Kedushas tefillin kedusha gedolei. She calls man she tefillin on roish. Because as long as a person has tefillin on his head, shaladam v'alzroyay hu anav. He's an anav. V'yare. And he has yira. Ve'enoy nimshcha b'schoiku b'sicha b'teila. Ve'enoy mahara b'machshav yisroiz. Elo mefana libay l'divrei ha'emes v'hatzedek. When a person is wearing tefillin, what does he do? He's humble. He has yira. There's no schoik. There's no sicha b'teila. He's not mahara b'machshav yisroiz. Elo mefana libay l'divrei ha'emes v'hatzedek. Lefichach says, the Rambam tzorich adam lehishtada liyoysan olav kol hayoyim shemitzvasan kachi. But either way, you see that when a person's wearing tefillin, it gets him into a matziv where he's going to be mefana libay ledivrei ha'emes v'atzedek lemantia teres Hashem b'vicha. That's mamish, I think, the makar to this round. But either way, the point is that the idea of tefillin is to get a person to learn teres. I said Rameh Simcha that even if you'll tell me that tefillin is a mitzvah sasei shalei as mangarama, but nashim is still going to be potter. And the reason is because if tefillin is all a way to get to learning Torah, women are potter from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So if they're potter from the Iker, they're potter from the Tafel. If they're potter from Torah Hashem Beficha, so they're potter from the mitzvah whose existence is lemantia Torah Hashem Beficha. It was more of a cheshbon. We spoke at the cheshbon end of that tzaddik. But either way, that's what Meir Simcha's Yisoy. That women are potter from tefillin, even if tefillin is a mitzvah essay shaloyas mangarama. Even if you hold that Laila Shabbos and Yontif are zmanei tefillin. Why? Because at the end of the day, the whole idea of tefillin is l'mantia teres Hashem b'ficha. And if nashim are potter from Talmud Torah, so it makes sense then that nashim should be potter from the mitzvah of tefillin. I saw a ha'ara nifla in the Sefer Mikra Ha'eda from Rabbi Leo Greenzeig. But before the Ha'ara, we need a little bit of an introduction, a little bit of Jewish history. And that is, there's a Sefer called Shailas U'Tshuvas B'Samim Rosh. If you have the Sefer, so the front cover of the Sefer says, Shailas U'Tshuvas B'Samim Rosh, HaMiyuchis LaHarosh. This Sefer is a compilation of 392 tshuvas that are attributed to the Rosh, as in Rabbeinu Asher, the father of the Torah, the Rishon, the Rosh. But the truth is, the history of the B'Samim Rosh is controversial, and it's a little bit sketchy. The Rosh printed tshuvas, but he never printed the tshuvas that are in the B'Samim Rosh. The story goes that there was a Yid, his name was Isaac de Molina. He was in Alexandria, in Egypt. And apparently some very, very wealthy person had died and he left over a lot of manuscripts. And he was going through the manuscripts and lo and behold, Kemoitze Shalom Rav, he found a bundle of tshuvos that seemed to be attributed to the Rosh. He was very excited, couldn't believe his find, and he made up that he's going to print these tshuvos. It should be a schos, he's going to print the tshuvos. For whatever reason, Isaac de Molina never printed the tshuvos. And these tshuvos somehow made their way from hand to hand until in the year 1793, there was a Yid whose name was Shaul Berlin. He decided that he's going to print the tshuvos. Now, Shaul Berlin himself was a very controversial figure. His father, however, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Berlin, was the chief rabbi of Berlin. He was an Adam Gadol, he was a Mekurev with a lot of the Gdolim, and Reb Tzvi Hirsch Berlin's son, he went and he printed the Sefer B'Samim Rosh, and again, he printed it under the premise that the tshuvas were tshuvas of the Rosh, that's why it's called B'Samim Rosh. It was tshuvas of the Rosh, he added some tshuvas, he also wrote a pirish on it called Kasa D'Harsana, but the point is that he went out and he printed the Sefer. Most Gedolei Olam accepted the Sefer. They accepted the Sefer as what it was. These are tshuvas that are miyuchas for the Rosh. There was a story, there was a little bit of a paper trail, and they assumed that this is the way it was. In fact, when Reb Shalom Berlin printed the Sefer, he got two haskamas. He got haskama from his father, but he got another haskama from none other than the Gadol Hadar, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, the Noi de Behuda. This was Seif Yom of the Noi de Behuda. Noi de Behuda wrote this haskama in Tav Kuf Nun Beis. Now, Yehuda was nifter, I think, in Tav Kuf Nun Gimel or Tav Kuf Nun Dalet. He was very, very old. He wrote the haskama. I'll read just parts of the haskama. Michtovei Hanan Boli Yadi, Vian, Ki Bavoinoisei Harabim Zesh, Shloisha Chadashim Niesi Venechlesi. Now, Yehuda said it's already 3 months that I've been very, very sick. The Ebis Sakona Gedola Ad Moed. I'm very, very not well. Hapam Oides Hashem Ashali Ozav Chazdoi Umikuda Sholach Ezri Vaitzieni Minachoyli. Baruch Hashem, I'm doing a little bit better. He said, however, on the Madain Rafa Koichi, I'm still weak. The Yodai Roisesses. My hands shake. Vaksiva Koshayla. It's very hard for me to write. Lochein Oshet Bekoitzer Milan. He says, I'm going to, yeah, you asked me, I'm going to write something very short. So he says like this. Al Dvar Askom Ashadarash Mimeni. You asked me to give a Askom, an approbation. He said, Sarli Moi, that's not something I can do. Kiloi Uchal Amalis Ritzoyne Bezai. I feel terrible, but I can't do it. Yan Zekichamisha Shonim, because 5 years ago, Nodarti. He said, I made a neder. Lebilti Teis Askom Al Shum Sefer. He said, I made a neder 5 years ago that I'm not going to give a Askom. So Askom is out of the picture. And he said, the in atzar shava bezel lotzis minan. He says, to go, and this should be the exception to the rule. He says, I don't think it's worth it. And he said, the reason I don't think it's worth it is, and this is fascinating if you know the history. You don't need my askama. The ain't by shum teyales. What's it really going to accomplish? I'm going to give you askama. What are you going to gain from it? He said, why? Ki divrei harosh shein ikar ha-sefer. The ikar, the sefer, is the rosh. Ain't not tzrichin l'shumah. Doesn't need anybody's askama. The im b'shvil ha-goyis u'pilpulu charifta shal kfoid mailas she'er b'sori. They were related. Ha-goyin l'dayti u'neged kfoid she'yad v'shum askama. I actually think it would be against, it would be inappropriate for him to write askama. U'mefursim ain't tzarech raya. I don't know if you're supposed to be medayik, but l'shoyne azov shal eloy de Yehuda. He said, but whatever's before, whatever everybody knows, they know already. Everybody knows that you would never print something that's not okay. I actually think it's more appropriate and it's more coveted for me not to write askama. Bottom line is, he says, I'm sorry, I have to stop writing, and this is all I can write. This was the askama of the night. The night Yehuda gave a askama, and the truth is, if you look out for it, you'll see that there were gedolei olam throughout the generations that quoted the Shalos Hatshuvos b'samim rosh. B'roshom, pun intended, Reb Kiva Eger. In fact, we've mentioned many times, not recently, but over the years, a famous chiddush that Reb Kiva Eger brings from the b'samim rosh, and that is that even though noshim achayiv in tefillah, but they're potter from tefillas musaf. And the reason is because the Musaf was a carbon seabor, which means that it was financed by the Machtes HaShekel. The Machtes HaShekel, the Mishnah says in the beginning of Masechta Shkolim, coming up, not too distant future. But the Mishnah says in Masechta Tishkom that Noshim were parted from Machzis HaShekel. So send the Basam in Rosh. If Noshim were parted from Machzis HaShekel, that means they had no chelik in the Musafin. If they had no chelik in the Musafin, and Tfilas Musaf is all connected, the carbon Musaf. So there's no reason for them to be chayiv in Damini Musaf. This is a chiddush Reb Kiva Eger brings from the Basam in Rosh. Just an example of Gedolei Hadar that quoted the Basam in Rosh as being an authentic sefer, and in fact, miyuchis to the Rosh. However, even though the Noi de Yehuda gave sort of a haskama to the Sefer, and Reb Kiva Eger and other Gedolei Olam quoted the Sefer, but not everybody agreed that the Sefer was okay. And in fact, the most famous opposition to the Sefer came from one of the greatest Gedolim in that era, and that was Reb Mordechai Bennett. So Reb Mordechai Bennett was one of the Gedolei Hadar in Adar Deya. And he wrote a Sefer that sadly is out of print, but it's called Shailos Hatshuvos Parashas Mordechai. And in Shailos Hatshuvos Parashas Mordechai Simen He, Reb Mordechai Bennett wrote a tshuva to Reb Tzvi Hirsch Berlin. And that was Reb Shaul Berlin's father. And he told his father, he says, listen to me, I went through the Sefer. This is a forgery. This is not from the Rosh. And I don't know exactly what's going on with the Sefer. And he said, we have to get rid of the Sefer. This is not a good Sefer. This is what he wrote. And it's a very sharp tshuva. It's Simen Hay. It's not that long. It's Simen Hay. And he goes through different rayas. I'll mention one of the rayas before we get to the punchline. He said, one of the rayas is, listen to the sensitivity of a Gadol Adar. Oid Heirim Kloin Al Klal Yisrael V'hatoyra Ba'amroi. In middle of one of his tshuvas, the B'samim Rosh writes, B'dor Shofel Kozeh Shenizbal Balatoyra. V'nisafsu aleim ha-mishpotim ha-yishorim. V'heima migashishim ki-ivrim bekir she-kirei plaster. V'ha-toru chasume ke-sefer ha-chosim. V'chulu v'chulu. So the B'son Rosh, in one of his tshuvas, he's talking very sharp about Klal Yisrael. He's talking about the whole dar. B'dar shofel kozesh and nisbal b'la-toru. So this is what he writes. Pia medaber kidvorim o'ela. He says, Yia mi she yia, eish loy nufach lo yichalka machleo ki hoitzi shem ra psulas Yerushalayim. says, I don't believe this was written by a Gadol, because no Gadol would talk this way about Klal Yisrael. It's unbelievable. Right, the Nevi'im did this, but the Nevi'im, there was a Nevu'ah. They had it. They couldn't be Kovish Nevu'ah. Like, they were coming to give Teichacha. They had a message to deliver. He said, but for someone to go ahead and write a tshuva like this, he says, not possible. He was Moitzi Shem Rab Basulas Yisrael. And then he says, besides, if this was written by the Rosh, I'm going to show you where the Rosh in a tshuva was talking about what was going on in his generation. And he was going mamish meshuga about the amount of Torah that was going on, the Torah of the Rishonim. And the Rosh is talking about how amazing it was. This is what's going on over here. Here I have a tshuva Zarosh where the Rosh can't get over what a wonderful Dar he's living in. And here you have he's being Moitzi Shem Rab Basulas Yisrael. He said, Teretz is not the Rosh. And now he's not the Rosh. He says, I don't know who it is. He said, but no person, no Adam Chasha would ever be Moitzi Shemra like this on Klal Yisrael. You can't talk this way about Klal Yisrael. Fascinating. You can't talk about this way either way. So the Remartcha Bennett and his precious Mardchai went through several tshuvas, I think it's 11 in total, where he methodically proved that the Besom and Rosh wasn't written by the Rosh, and whoever it was written by, it wasn't really written by an Adam Chasha. One of his rayas is what the Besom and Rosh wrote in Simin Chaf Aleph. So he says like this, Ube Simin Chaf Aleph hever hella dover mafli. He says, a dover pella, the Balkari calls manchalai tova likirye asa betfilin. He says, if someone's a Balkari, until he does tfilas Ezra, unless he toivels, he's not let to put on tefillin. Said the precious Mardchai, the chiddush who, this is such a big chiddush v'lo yalfina mine. This is such a disturbing chiddush. And he says, v'lo yalfina mine. And at the end he says, I know for sure the Rosh never would have said something like this. It's not something that has any pshat. Ayin shom. What's this chiddush? So I have the some Rosh in my house, and I went through the tshuva, and it's actually a very interesting tshuva. And he says a whole arichos that a Balkari, because he's tamei, is not allowed to wear tefillin. A Balkari is not allowed to wear tefillin. And he says, ah, you'll ask me a kasha, why is the Tommy Mace allowed with tefillin? So he says, Tommy Mace is not a kasha because Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. Tumah, we're all Tommy Mace. And because we're all Tommy Mace, just like we'd be able to eat the carbon Pesach, since for that reason we should be able to wear tefillin. But someone that has a real Tumah, Tumas Keri, where you don't have the halach of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, Tumah Tumah D'tzir, so the halach is, you shouldn't be able to, incidentally, I was thinking maybe this would be another reason why a woman shouldn't be able to wear tefillin. Because if a woman, if a Balkari can't wear tefillin, you would think a Nida shouldn't be able to wear tefillin either. So if a woman, a Nida can't wear tefillin, forget about the Indian of Nikios, that's like more of a practical issue. Tumah, what about Tumah? So you're going to tell me that sometimes yes, sometimes not. I don't know. But the bottom line is this was the chiddush of the Besom Rosh. So the Besom Rosh said that a Balkari doesn't wear tefillin, and this is one of Remartcha Bennett's rayas. He says, no way this is true. This can't be. You can't tell a person if he doesn't do tefillah says, don't put on tefillin today. Not possible. Now, we know Balkari can't learn Torah. Balkari, certain parts of tefillah, Krishma maybe, but in terms of tefillin, that night. So I saw Rebbe Eliyahu Greenzeig coming full circle, and this is in the Sefer Mikra Eda. It's in Parshas Vayera. So he brings the Chiddush of the Besamim Rosh. He brings the Remartchai Bennett in the Parashas. Mordechai couldn't understand how could there be such a Chiddush. No way. It has no pshat. So said Rebbe Eliyahu Greenzeig, he says, okay, Lamaisa the Besamim Rosh said it, right? The Besamim Rosh had Haskama from the Night of Yehuda. That he had Haskama from Kiva Eger, etc., etc. So we have to be miyashiv the Besamim Rosh. The precious Mordechai felt checkmate. There's nothing to be miyashiv. It's a kasha that doesn't have a tshuva. Oh, but fart, right? What's the teretz? What's the vart? What's the gather? Say, could be the pshat is this Or Sameach. Because it's mavur in the Or Sameach the way you understood the Mechilta. That what's tefillin? Tefillin is shinon. Tefillin is Talmud Torah. It's for that reason the Mechilta says that kol oisik b'Torah. If someone is learning Torah, he's potem in atfilin. It's for that reason, said Ramei Simcha, that Noshim, even if you hold that tefillin is a mitzvah zaseh shaleyas nangirama, but they're going to be potter from tefillin. Why? Because at the end of the day, if you're potter from Torah Hashem Beficha, see, you're potter from the mitzvah whose mere purpose is leman, tia Torah Hashem Beficha. But the point is, if tefillin and Torah are one and the same. So you could understand why a Balkari can't put on tefillin. Because a Balkari is not allowed to learn Torah. That's Tfilas Ezra. So if a Balkari is not allowed to learn Torah, and tefillin is Torah, so it's beautiful. Balkari is not allowed to learn Torah, a Balkari can't put on tefillin either, because tefillin and Torah is one and the same. And if tefillin and Torah are one and the same, so it's pashut, it's very moving, why that would be the halacha? Another interesting thing that he says in that tshuva is maybe this would be another pshat, well, you don't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Why don't we wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av? The reason is Pasha, because tefillin is called Pe'er, and tefillin was supposed to be morning. And being that was supposed to be morning, he says, for that reason, there's no tefillin. But he said, it could be a new knej, because tefillin is Talmud Torah. It's Lamantia Torah Sashem Beficha. On this way, we can't learn Torah anyways. So what do you need tefillin for? There's no purpose in tefillin. The whole mitzvah of tefillin is Lamantia Torah Sashem Beficha. And if the whole thing is Lamantia Torah Sashem Beficha, it's interesting. In that shuva, the B'Sam Rosh actually talks about this mechilta. He talks about the mechilta. There's a first part and a second part. There's a reisha and a seifa. What we just mentioned is the seifa. In the reisha, he talks about the mechilta, and he says a very interesting chiddush. He says that it could be kol akoyre b'toyre patim and atfilin is only true for somebody that teaches Torah. But if somebody only learns Torah, it could be it's not true. He says it to answer a bunch of kashas, ayin shom. But he says maybe it's only someone that teaches Torah. Someone that learns Torah is chayv and tefillin. Someone that teaches Torah is not going to be chayv and tefillin. So I was thinking it could be, and I was thinking about this, it was mamish bothering me the whole weekend, that we say lamantia Torah Hashem beficha. What's the emphasis of beficha? Why lamantia Torah Hashem beficha? And then I saw the first part of the Tshuvas Besam and Rosh, and it was mamish a mitzia, I think. Because there's a vart that we've mentioned in the past. The Gemara says in Mesechtes Sukkah, Taf Mem Tes on the base. The Gemara says Pia Pascha Bechachma V'Soyras Chesed Al Hashoyna. The Eishes Chayil. She's Pia Pascha Bechachma V'Toyras Chesed Al Hashoyna. Pray the Gemara. What's Toyras Chesed? V'Chiyesh Toyras Shal Chesed. The Torah Shal Enish Shal Chesed. What's Torah's Chesed mean? Torah is Torah, and Chesed is Chesed. There's three pillars that the world stands on: Torah, Avodah, and Chesed. So Torah is. What does it mean by Torah's Chesed al Hashoyna? Zok the Gemara, Ella. Someone that learns Torah is Torah Shal Enish Shal Chesed. Someone that teaches Torah, that's Torah's Chesed. You know what Torah's Chesed al Hashoyna means? When somebody teaches Torah, it's Torah's Chesed. The Aruch Laner on that Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger. I mean, we're living in this world right now with Rabbi Cheskel Landau, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Rabbi Mordechai Bennett, and Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Berlin. So Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger. So Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger and Aruch Laner said on that Gemara, Sukkah Mem Tes Amid Beis, he said, "Lefi Zed, beautiful." Pia Pascha Bechachma V'Toyres Chesed Al Hashoyna. What does V'Toyres Chesed mean? Teaching Torah. A person can learn Torah without moving his lips. You can learn Torah without talking. You can be Maharib Bedevei Torah. Maharib Bedevei Torah. V'Hogisa B'Yoyim V'Laylo. You're Mekayim the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But you can't teach Torah if you be Maharib Bedevei Torah. The only way to teach Torah is if you talk. Because if you don't talk, nobody else can benefit from it. So if you want to learn Torah for yourself, yeah. But to teach Torah, you need to talk. What does Torah's Chesed mean, teaching Torah? Pia Pascha Bechachma, V'Soyras Chesed Al Hashoyna. When she opens her mouth, Torah's Chesed Al Hashoyna. Because if it's not Pia Pascha Bechachma, there's no Torah, yeah, you don't need Pia Pascha for Torah. Oh, but for Torah's Chesed Al Hashoyna, that's Pia Pascha Bechachma. So going back to the Besamim Rosh, said the Besamim Rosh, then when is it true that the Mechilta said, Kol HaKoyre B'Torah Patim and HaTfilin, that's if you teach Torah, but if you learn Torah not. And he says that's why there were Tanam and Amiram that taught Torah. Maybe they didn't wear tefillin sometimes, but the ones that only learned Torah, yeah, that's what he was talking about. But the point is that if someone teaches Torah, then you have Kol. It's gevaldik. It's v'hoy lo isayotcha uliv zikarim b'neinecha lemantia Torah Hashem beficha. It's not leman that you should learn Torah. Torah Hashem beficha. It should be pia pascha b'chachma. The whole idea of tefillin is not just to remind the person to learn Torah. It's to remind a person to teach Torah. It's to remind a person that your Avodas Hashem is not just for you. It's to remind a person that it's not just about yourself. It's to remind a person that we're all an Am Echad, and our Avodas Hashem isn't only about making sure that we shteig as much as we can shteig, but it's an achrayus for the people next to us as well. And whether it's through teaching Torah, whether being mechazik another person, but that's the idea. The idea of tefillin is not just to remind a person to learn Torah. The idea of tefillin is lamantia. To remind a person to teach Torah. So if someone is already teaching Torah, he's a melamed Torah l'rabim. Yeah, that person is kol akoyre b'Torah. See, he's patim l'niach tefillin. But if someone's only learning, it's the pasuk, the same pasuk that says l'matia Torah. That says b'ficha, the aruch laner pia pascha b'chachma. It's all about reminding a person for Torah's chesed. It's not just for Torah. It's for Torah's chesed. Could be man, the pasuk is beautifully, beautifully meduyik, like the Summer Rush, but just to end with one final aura, and that is we've mentioned in the past Rabbi Yonason Steif in his Sefer Al HaTorah in Parashas Boy, he brings from the Shevet Musar a Dover Nifla. Chazal say Torah Mateshes Koicha Shel Adam. So the Shevet Musar, who of course was the Preshberger Rav, Shevet Musar was the Ksav Sofer, The Shevet Sofer was the Ksav Sofer's son, who of course was the Chassam Sofer's son. He took over the yeshiva and the Kehila Preshberg. And the Shevet Sofer said that we know Chazal say Torah Matesh as Koich Hashem. What does it mean, Torah Matesh as Koich Hashem? So what does it mean? He says, when a person, you learn Torah, that's it, you become weak. So he says that a person has a gaiva. People walk around, they think, but when you learn Torah, you realize that it's not you. You realize there's no koichi va'itzim yadi asli asachai lazeh. You realize that you're not in control. You know how you know you're not? You know when you learn you're not in control, when you learn Torah, that through dveikus to the Torah k'dosh, a person comes to the realization that he is not in control. And that's Torah Matesh's koich shel adam. Which koich? It doesn't mean that you become weak. What it means is that the koichi va'itzim yodi also liyas achayla, that gaiva that you have, that control that you think you're in, that's something that goes away. It withers when you learn Torah. Torah Matesh's koich shel adam. So you know what Rabbi Yonason Steif said this vart over from his Rebbe, the Shevet Sofer? He said it in a Parashas Boy. So I looked it up. Where did he say it? Parashas Boy. You know which pasuk? On this pasuk. So he said the pasuk is equating tefillin and Torah. He said, what's the connection between tefillin and Torah? What's the connection? Tefillin is Torah, right? That's why a Baal Keri maybe can't put on tefillin. And that's why Noshim, even if it's a mitzvah, Shalei, as my grandma, are going to be potter. And that's a new Knech, why at Tishba we don't return. So said, Rabbi Yonason Steif, he said, because what's the idea of tefillin? What's tefillin? Tefillin is v'hoyel l'chalo isal yadcha. Rashi, on that word, l'yadcha, what does yadcha mean? Yad keya. You put it on your weaker hand. You know why? To show that you're shvach, that you're not in control, that there's no koichi v'oitzim yadi asol yasachai lazeh. Tefillin is all about mateshas koicha shel adam. That's what it is. What are the parashiyos in the tefillin? It's Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's to remind ourselves that we were vulnerable and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that biyad chazaka to the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We had no control. We couldn't do anything. It was the yad chazaka of the Eibishter. It was Yemincha Hashem. Yemincha Hashem. That's what took us out of our hand. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's two right hands. That's what took us out of. That's what took us out of Mitzrayim. Then you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Einoy Milvada. You're makker, that you're not in control. That is what tefillin is, and you put the tefillin shayad anyways, we're on your yad keya, on your weak hand, because the idea of tefillin is all about tefillin mateshas koiche shel adam. So the pasuk lamantia tayrus Hashem beficha, tayrus is the same exact thing. Tayrus is also about tayrus mateshas koiche shel adam, and perhaps just lefi the Rabbi Yonason Steif's taych, just the knech kolakoyre betayra patam et tefillin. Why? Because what's tefillin? It's all about being mateshas koiche shel adam. If you're Kairav Batayra, Tayra Mateshas Kaychash Aladam, you don't have to learn. You don't need the tefillin for that. Because the idea of what tefillin is supposed to accomplish, remind you of your Yad Keya, remind you that there's no Kaychi Vaitzim Yad Yasaliyas Achai Lazeh. A person that learns Tayra, the Tayra could be Mateshas Kaychash Aladam. As a result, you don't need the tefillin to be Mateshas Kaychash Aladam.